Isaiah, and what is the particular topic that we've been on in the last 2 weeks? You guys remember? Okay, good. I don't know if anybody said anything, but I just said good. that God's servant to the nations, who is supposed to be who? Israel. Are you guys awake? Okay. God's servant to the nations is supposed to be Israel, but instead of taking that privilege of being the blessing to the world, they desire the things of the world around them. And what we see is that they made idols. And we've already talked about this, so I'm not going to go through this, all this again. But, you know, we've talked about these are the qualities that we saw in Israel. And then we started to look at idols, things that the Lord hates. We set up in secret. It will ensnare you. It will trap you. Idols can be internal. That's what we've been talking about. Everyday things, good things that become obsessions or the center of your life, become ultimate things. And we think that it gives us significant security and safety, fulfillment. And then you guys helped me, or Ellie helped last week with, you know, using good things and ultimate things. So that actually got into the sermon, right? Ellie told my translator, who was my translator last week? Elaine. And Elaine was able to use what you guys helped, right, to understand taking a good thing and making it into an ultimate thing. Well, this week I'm going to ask that you take your pencils out. Because we are going to do a little bit, something a little bit different, but we are going to spend some quiet time as a class. Okay? So be prepared. You are going to get very brass tacks, very where the rubber hits the road, very practical. I think we need to make sure we get very practical in our church. And so we are going to have a chance today to do just that. Last week we ended, though, saying that if our some of those good things that we brought up, that you guys brought up, besides some of the examples of Pastor and Dr. Tim Keller, he used some examples of God was saying that the human heart takes good things like a successful career. Okay, that's a good thing. Love, that's a good thing. I think we can continue to look at that too, because I think that's up in there. And good things like material possessions or even family, and turns those good things into ultimate things. Now, did I have you guys get into groups and talk about what other things may be? Did I do that with you guys? Okay. And you guys came up with a college, getting into a good college for some may be a good thing that becomes ultimate. Someone said reading the Bible or Bible knowledge, the pursuit of Bible knowledge is a good thing that can become an idolatry thing. Right? I don't know what this one is. Tutor? Who said tutor? What does that mean? Going to a tutor. Okay. Going to tutoring. What's the most popular tutoring thing right now? What's the company called? Huh? Kremlin? The Kremlin? Yeah.
Kumon.
Oh, Kumon? Okay. Yeah, the Kremlin too. Tutor, the Kumon, or there's an SAT one that is like every Chinese family has to put their child in that if you want to get in a good college. That's called what? Elite, right? Okay, so this is like tutoring. Good. So pretend you didn't hear the words elite or Kremlin or Kumon or whatever, right? But tutoring. We also said even basic needs. Someone said basic needs because it is true, sometimes even for families of maybe not so great means, even just trying to get, I think this meant just trying to get your basic needs of survival. it could be a good thing, but ends up becoming an idolatry thing. Or I would even recategorize this in some of us eating a certain food or foodies is what it's called. People who are just over-emphasizing or maybe over-enjoying food, right? Or over, food is a good thing. And I think it's great that God has given us delicacies, and God has given in the world creativity to make good food and good tasting food. But can the pursuit of, an ongoing pursuit of finding good food definitely be an idol? Absolutely. I mean, Yelp itself has made it almost into that. Yelp is an app, right, that you want to find good food, good restaurants. I mean, it is just, someone has used a word before, I don't know where I've heard it, but it's called food porn. Food in the form of like pornography, meaning it is so addictive, and that's what you need. You need to keep finding the good food, and you're addicted to it. That's called food porn, right? Or pictures of food that you just look at it and you're like, oh, I want to eat that. Oh, I want that in my belly. You know, that kind of mentality. I think food can be. Someone also, or some group also said, your child can be an idol. How can your child be a good gift from God, but become something that now is ultimate? How does that happen? Because I don't want to say child porn, because that's a whole different category, right? How can someone's child, I mean, come on. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a blessing. Tell me, how does a child become an ultimate thing in your family?
My kid needs to go to sleep, go to bed early, can't come to fellowship, I can't go to church because my kid is sleeping.
Okay, all right, okay. That's one way, yeah. Like I have to make sure that my child is, everything in our family is revolving around this stinking child.
I think when they turn a child into like their future hope or carrying on their...
Okay. The child is my future hope, right? I am not a great ball player. I wish I was a phenomenal athlete. And if I put the pressure and I kind of lead CJ on to become the athlete that I wish that I became, oh man, that's my future. I'm trying to make my child like all of my hopes, my dreams, right? Could that happen? Oh yeah, okay. A lot of oh yeahs from the parents, right? Oh yeah, right? Or I wish I had a chance to become a great pianist, but I never did. I grew up in a poor family, so my child is going to become the piano prodigy, right? I felt that I had a chance to become a child prodigy, at least all the friends on my football team, because I would have to leave one day a week from practice early to go to my piano practice. They called me Mozart. I'm like, thank you, yes, I am. I can play piano, you guys can't, right? So at least I had a little moment of shining. Even though I was a terrible piano player, in front of my football team, I was Mozart. And my parents were very proud of that, you know? Okay, yes, how else can, okay, so your child become your future, your hope, what else? What else do you have? Like, how else can a child become an idol?
What if you had, when you were growing up,
bless you,
when you were growing up, you would, maybe certain areas didn't work out well, academics, music, or sports. Mm-hmm. So you see, okay, you have a chance when they're growing up, oh, he's going to be a football player.
Right, yes, player. Exactly.
And something that I didn't accomplish.
That's right, absolutely. Yes, that's right. Freeman, you had your hand? Raise two? Oh, no, okay. Yeah, so see... And I think that's part of it. What we're going to do is keep looking at this a little bit more, because these are the things that you came up that other people can make these things into idols in their lives. Good things into ultimate things. We're going to keep digging a little bit. I think I like the phrase, we deify them. We We deify. Deity is the word what?
God.
We kind of make them into a God-like status in our life, whatever it is, and as the center of our life, because we think that if we can have this or achieve this or maintain this, it will give us that significant security, safety, and fulfillment, right? So what are other things that you want to put on the board right here as you think? What is something that people in our church are pursuing? What are other people? It's not you, okay? So if you say it, it's not you. That's the rule here right now. We're going to pretend it's not you. It's other people. What are things that people are pursuing that we think if we can get this, or if we maintain this, right? Because it's not only just trying to get something. Sometimes I already have it, and I got to keep it up. What are some other things?
And then I think it's kind of broad, but it's kind of like happiness. Like you're willing to do a lot of different things just to kind of find your own happiness.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. New experiences, I heard. It's true. People want new experiences. What else?
About greed.
Yeah, greed. Greed in what? When you think of greed,
well,
what do you think of?
That one through the story of the Bible, this man had a lot of property, had a lot of harvesting his crop.
Good.
I'm going to be something bigger. Make something bigger.
Okay. So I want more. Yeah. More. What was he doing, though? It was more.
Hoarding.
Hoarding of what? He was trying to build more what? Wealth?
Yeah.
Wealth? Okay. More wealth. Wealth sounds like it's not us, though. Because there's not many of us here that are wealthy. I don't know, maybe some of you are very wealthy. But how about, let's make a word that, you know, more in our church. More, people want more money?
Prosperous.
More security?
More secure. But what gives you security? What's the... Okay, financial security. Okay, good.
How about material possessions?
Okay, good. Let's get specific. We say material possessions. What are some things that we see in our church?
Cars.
Okay, like nice cars. What else?
House. Land.
Land. How about rental property?
Yeah.
Right? Rental property. What else? How about some stuff for the young people? What's the things that young people are pursuing?
Clothing.
Electronics.
Okay. Electronics. Someone said belts?
Yeah.
That's like a cool belt.
Yeah.
Oh, Gucci belts. Okay. What else? What about for our young people? What else are young people pursuing besides college? What are they making sure that they get, you know, like, I have this?
Clouds.
Huh? Cloud grades?
Clouds. Like popularity.
Oh, popularity. Okay, yeah. I need to be popular. Tutoring means you're trying to get the best grades. Right?
They want friends.
Friends?
Fellowship.
Okay.
But friends can be like virtual or real.
Oh, yeah, virtual friends. Who has virtual friends?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook friends, right? Wow.
Likes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how about the person who is always looking for affirmation on social media? Right? Oh, no one liked my, you know. So social media can be one.
1,000 likes.
Right? Do people actually do that? Do people, like, really hope to get likes? Yes or no?
Okay.
Yes.
People will, like, delete and repost.
Oh, they'll delete it and repost it to get more likes. Wow. So, likes is on social media, if someone sees what you wrote or you put a picture, someone saying thumbs up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you think this can become a ultimate thing for some people? That I have to keep doing this to get likes? Okay, all right, good. You see, what else? And that happens in our church, do you think? There are some people maybe? Yes? Okay, yes. Okay, what else do we have in our church? Wow, we got a lot of idols in our church, guys. Huh, sodas? Service, what do you mean by service?
Like, you wanna serve a lot and like, you think, I mean, well, you think like.
Ministry.
Yeah, I guess. That's
yes. And how does ministry become a good, is serving God a good thing?
Yes.
Yes. How does serving God become an ultimate thing?
Done for the wrong reason.
Wrong reason?
You get so caught up doing good deeds that you don't even like realize why you're doing it.
You don't even know why you're doing it anymore. You just keep doing it and doing it. Okay, good. And what else? For pride, so that people can see you, because you're like, I'm so good at this, I keep doing it, I'm good. Or at least, this way I have some standing among this group of people. I have a social standing, right? It's true. Can that happen? Or it becomes so ultimate to you that you're neglecting other things in your life. How about that? How about the pastor? Right? Very dangerous for pastors. I think ministry idolatry can be very real for me, right? Because I could try to take my calling so seriously, even with what I'm going to be preaching today, when the scripture, today from what I'm going to be preaching, because we're just preaching through 1 Thessalonians, right? And the chunk just comes to me today. And the chunk says this in 1 Thessalonians, right? I'll just show you and give you guys a preview. You tell me how I'm supposed to preach this. I had to pray a lot, okay? We ask you, brothers and sisters, to, this is Paul writing, okay? Respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Esteem your pastors very highly in love. Respect them. How am I supposed to preach that? Right? That seems a little self-serving, right? Brothers and sisters, God has given you pastors. Please hold them in high regard. Okay? But on the other side, it says that because they are laboring, they're working. Okay? So pray for me as I preach that. Yes? So that you know it's not coming out of a place of it's self-serving, like esteem me, that God would have a place for his word there. But on the other side, it says labor. And how many of us have seen pastors or people in ministry who have overexhausted themselves to the point where they're not even taking care of their own health? Or they're neglecting other things in their life just because they feel that they got to serve. Like, there's a phrase that I used to hear from a missionary who said, it's a famous missionary, who said, are you a candle being burnt at both ends for the Lord? Because this is serving the Lord. Okay, just pretend this is a candle with two flames, okay? Right? I didn't ask Milton to come up here to draw for me, okay? But this is a candle with a wick being burnt at both ends, which means what's going to happen? What's a good part of that? You're going to shine really bright, man. But what's the bad part of that? You are going to burn fast. Right? That could be good, but it really could be ultimate. Right? And I don't know if God called us to be a candle being burnt at both ends. I don't know if that's true. Because it would be terrible if I have a wonderful ministry, but my wife has never felt my love for many years. If my children see that their father, all he does is build up the church and doesn't build them up. You see how that could become an ultimate thing for anyone in ministry too, right? And all of you are in ministry, so you have all these other reasons. Like Milton said, pride. Or Joshua said, what did you say?
Clout.
Clout, right? Daniel said, for what? Why could ministry be? Okay. You see, as we start looking at each of these, we can dig a little deeper, but boy, you guys, this is probably not all the idols in our church today. Is that a little bit scary, do you think? That we are a church that's supposed to be Christ-centered. We are a church of God's word. We're a church that wants to exalt Christ. And yet, we see, you know, and like yesterday, we went to Zhao Bobo's funeral, and then many of us went to the dinner at Taipan Kitchen on Archibald, and Pastor James' family and I were there first, and our kids were in there, and you could smell the incense, right? Ooh, they're burning a lot of incense. And then they have their little Buddha, you know, thing down there, and got their little fake candles, right, and oranges, and whatever is there, right? All that stuff that's being offered to their idols. And we were in there and you smell all of this incense burning and all of this is great. However, we get detested by that, right? Like I remember Pastor James saying, hey, do you think we should go tell the restaurant, like, hey, there's all Christians here now. This is idol worship. You know, can you hear him saying that? Idol worship, man. Like, you go tell him. I'm like, no, you go tell him, man. Goes, yeah, go tell him. Like, you know, this is too heavy. And then Cindy Simu was like, oh, yeah, we're all going to go to church. We're going to smell like we were, like, worshiping, like, Buddha, right? And their kids were disgusted. All of our kids were like, whoa, what is, oh, worship idols. You can smell it. Idol worship. You smell it's bad. Wow. The smell of idol worship. We are sickened by it, but we're not sickened by this. Like, this is not sickening. We are doing it in secret. God smells the incense in your heart, you know? Yes.
Could I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about the ministry is like the idol, the people mentioned. But I'm scared that if the maybe some people like me, I'm not full understanding or full meaning for or full faith about service, but I must still do that.
Yes.
So in this case, maybe is if an idol, I'm.
Is it an idol?
I'm sure I can serve the game.
Oh, you mean if it became an idol one time for me, then I shouldn't do it?
Yeah. Because some people when do service, they're not full. Please, not full meaning. Maybe
yes.
This is a grub.
Yes.
The believer.
Yes.
But if you seem like I think this question is very complicated. If we give the easy definition, is we will scare some people. They don't do anything in the church.
That's true. So
maybe that lost the chance to grow up.
That's right. But see, none of these. See, the point is, all of these are not bad. Are any of these things bad? Is ministry bad? No. We want people to serve. That's God's heart. God wants us to serve. Does God want us to have new experience sometimes? Yeah. Does God want us to have some money? Sure. Does God want us to have grades? Basic needs? Does God want us to have a child? Are all of these things good? Yes. Even if you drove here today in a Mercedes-Benz, is that bad? No, it's not bad. It is not bad. What if one person hears 401k is much larger than other people's? Is that bad? That's not bad. That's good. But anything, our warning is that something good, 好事, can become a, what's that phrase that we use right here? 一个终极目标, right? Something good can become The only thing that matters, that's where it switches, right? That's where it switches. So, what's happening in your life? And I asked you last week, right? He says, things that absorb your heart, all you're doing is thinking about it more than God. That's why I always warn our coworkers, especially before vacation Bible school, remember why you are serving. Remember who you are serving. Don't just get busy and busy and busy. Because God does not need that empty sacrifice, right? In the book of 1 Samuel, right, it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Your empty work is not as important to God as the obedience of your heart. You see? So if you are absorbed with serving God, but you are not really loving God, that can become a problem. If you're trying to get from what you're doing what only God can give, something's wrong. An idol is whatever you look at and say in your heart, if I have that, then my life has meaning. Then I know I have value, that I have significance and security. Or if it's so important that if you lose it, your life will not feel worth living. What if you work so hard to get into the college of your dream? Everything in your future you believe is all based on this. And either you don't make it in, you don't have the money to pay for it, or when you get in, you didn't do well, you got kicked out. You now don't have what you thought was supposed to give your life meaning. That has then become an idol. Your child, of course. Well, someone will be devastated if you lost your child? Sure. I think I would be pretty heartbroken if I lost my child. But if the meaning of my life was all upon my child, then the meaning of my life was not in God, right? The meaning of my life, like Nancy was saying, was coming from my child. My hope, my dream, my life is about this. If I lose this, my whole life loses meaning. That can happen to anyone. Is there someone in your life that is right now? That has become the thing that really is fighting a position with God in your heart. And I know this is hard, especially when we start talking about, this is my child. Oh my goodness. I mean, fine, I lose my Mercedes. Ooh, who cares? But my child? Because for everybody, it's different. Right? Could a child become that place for a mother or a father? What do you guys think? Very much so. If I lose that, my life would hardly be worth living anymore. Everything I did was for this child. They're gone. Okay. Calvin said, the human heart is an idol factor. I think I ended on this last week, right? It pumps up idols. Do you believe this is true or not? What do you guys think? Do you think that our hearts are always making idols? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, we are always making idols. The moment we're born, our heart is a little idol factory. I love that phrase. It's a factory. We are making idols all the time. That's why this list can go longer and longer and longer. And maybe for you, today it was your electronic. Today it's your grades. Tomorrow it's going to be your child. And then after that, it'll be something else, your happiness, your financial security, ministry, whatever it is. Your heart is always trying to find something else to be fulfilled in and not God. You see that? But what about for a Christian? Do you think that it's different now that you are a Christian? Okay? Talk about that in your group real quick. Talk about it in your group and just say, do you think for a Christian, well, let's not talk about our group, we don't have time. Do you think right now as a class that even for a Christian, your heart can still make idols? Yes or no? Yeah. Raise your hand, yes. Raise your hand, no. No? No one here? Wow. So even for a Christian, your heart makes idols. But what is different about a Christian then than a non-Christian who makes idols in their hearts?
You're trying to redirect it so that it's toward God is the one that you worship.
Okay, good. So you're aware that it shouldn't be. And again, like I said to you, as your pastor, you're going to memorize this lesson. I am so convinced that this is something so real and dangerous in our church at all times that you will hear me, hopefully, by God's grace, preach and teach and share on this more and more and more. You'll always hear me remind you about it. That's why, even as I was preparing for a Mother's Day message, and I didn't want to talk about idolatry, when I looked at Sarah and her heart for her child, it was like, that's idolatry, right? Remember last week's sermon? And I asked God, I don't have time to talk about this. It's Communion Sunday. If I talk about idolatry, I have to talk less about something else. But you know, the more I prayed about it, God was like, you have to talk about this. God wants us to redirect our attention to Him all the time. That's why retreats, that's why a retreat is important. You go to a retreat for what? Because it's a fancy new location? No. Because it's by the beach? No. Just to have good fellowship with other people? No. The whole purpose of 3 days is supposed to be for you to get out of your normal life and to redirect your worship to God and away from the idols in your life. Right? That's what the retreat is for. And as a Christian, is it possible to give the devil a foothold in your life? Yes, because Ephesians 27 says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give an opportunity to the devil. Don't let an idol give room for the devil to open the door and use that to control you. Well, can the devil even control you? Right? Is it possible, though, for you to give an opportunity for a foothold for the devil in your life? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. But we know, the scripture says, that our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin, which we still live in, might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be what? Enslaved to sin. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian whose heart is still making idols is that the non-Christian is forever ensnared and enslaved by it. You have the chance to break free. It does not mean that you are not enslaved by it right now. you can be young people didn't even bring this up. I'm so surprised of the ignorance of not bringing this up. Video games. You could be bound, enslaved by video games. See? But once we say that, all the adults go, yes, yes, I see young people enslaved by video games. And older people are enslaved by financial security. Older people are enslaved by their child. Older people are enslaved by ministry or cars or a house or land or rental property. Your rental property, your savings, your next raise. You are enslaved. Don't just look at the young people, young people, video games. Hey, young people should be financial security, 401k. Your house. I see how much you spend on your house. Or me. Mom, Dad, you made me an idol. And then, as a parent, I would say, you know what the Bible says about idols? You got to crush them and burn them. Right? But we are not enslaved by them. We're not enslaved to it. Meaning, you can break free. Some of you, in this happiness, has driven some people to bondage, to laziness. The one of the top three workshop topics that I was going to give was going to be a workshop on laziness. Because laziness is really not the root issue for anyone. Laziness is a symptom of a very deep problem. It's very deep. And you are ensnared by it, right? Laziness, people, I'm lazy. Man, there is something way deeper going on. Laziness is just a symptom, right? Just like when Saul Bobo was diagnosed with stomach cancer, stage 4, they discovered it because of the symptom, because he threw up blood. Then you go to the doctor and they found out that the spinning of a blood was a symptom of stage 4 cancer. Laziness is just a symptom of the disease of what's happening inside. Okay? And a lot of us are ensnared by that too. You see that? Yet, you don't have to be enslaved by it. Because you are a Christian, Christ was crucified so that you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. That's why there are many Christian brothers that I know who once were addicted to pornography, but as their faith strengthened, as they grew in their faith, they were able to break out of the bondage of porn addiction. Right? People have broken out of the bondage of food addiction. People have broken out of the bondage of different things that they have once been their money addiction, their financial addiction. If your main focus right now is how to save money for your family, and that is greater than your love for the Lord, you have the ability to be broken out of that, but some of you are still saying, no, no. I want to keep being ensnared by the thing that's keeping me lazy. I want to be ensnared by my electronics. I want to be ensnared by the financial stability. I want to worship this idol. That's why, again, this is important for me to talk about. Because there are some of us in this church that refuse to deal with this idol. And God is not pleased with that. Right? Okay. Grab your pencil. Or your phone, if you want to take notes. Dr. Keller has given many different questions. And we're going to end with this. The last 5 minutes, you're just going to do work. What are you living for? Write it right down right now. What are you living for? Right now, be honest. No one's going to look at your journal. I mean, I might hold up your journal to let people see a journal. I will never read your journal. This is your private journal in your phone, unless your phone gets hacked and people post it on social media. What? Amos is living for this. What are you living for? Be honest right now. What are you living for? Again, it's on your own phone, your paper. Be honest, at least before God, that you can see, ooh, I'm living for this right now. This is what I am. This is what my hope and my dream is. Again, it's not a bad thing. This doesn't mean it's an idol. It's just what you're looking for. Yes, Bobby.
I'm okay to share mine.
I don't want you to share it right now. Thank you. These are good things. Just be honest with it right now. Because just because you write it down doesn't mean it's an idol, okay? So if you're living for your child, if you're living to get into a good college right now, if your hope is getting into this college, if your hope is to save a certain amount of, if your hope is to, I know when my children were very young at a Cam and Marcus age, my hope and dream was that my child would grow out of this. I don't want them at that age. I want to be able to throw a ball with them and actually have conversation with them. I had a hope and dream of that. It wasn't an idol, but I was dreaming about my kids stop peeing in their beds. Okay? Still dreaming that. That's not a bad thing. Just think about what you're hoping for right now. What do you hope for? What are you dreaming about? What do you say? Oh, man, I wish I had this. This is going to be so good. Good, because it is good.
It's good.
All right, next. What do I wake up and go to sleep thinking about? What are you thinking about when you get up and when you go to sleep? Where does my mind naturally go? And by the way, it could be your phone. Some of you, the first thing you do when you get up is you got to get on your phone. And what are you going to on your phone, though? If it's traffic, okay, that's okay. I used to go to my traffic. I'm like, oh, what's the traffic today? Or weather, okay? It's good. It's probably not an idol. But if you're going to something else and you need to see it every day, what could that be? What are you waking up and going to sleep thinking about? Where does your mind naturally go? Because some of us have disciplines. It's like, okay, I'm going to go do my devotions. But some of us are like, my mind naturally goes to what? What do you daydream about? If you're sitting there and like, oh boy, what do I, you know? I know for me, I love working with wood. Wood. I build stuff. I buy tools and I have, you know, I love working with wood. I have realized that that is a very fine dance that I'm dancing right now with my wood hobby, right? How much do I think about it? Don't tell Bex, I'm not thinking about her all the time. Whose opinion matters most to you right now? Whose opinion matters most? This person's word affects you. You're trying to make this person happy. Who is that? Who are you trying to make happy? Whose opinion matters to you most? If I'm unsure about what to do in any given situation, whose opinion comes to mind? Whose voice am I listening to do what I'm doing in my life? Ultimately. Probably sure ain't your pastors, right? Next. What gives your life meaning? How do you define yourself? When I was young, even though I could play piano, I didn't want to be known as a pianist. I mean, I kind of liked that they called me Mozart for a while, you know. But I wanted to be an athlete. That's what gave my life meaning. I needed people to know that I can play. Or in anything, I can win. I will win. My cousin Roger used to say, Alex will will the win. I will will it, man. I will the win at all costs. I wanted to be a winner, Charlie Sheen. Winning. If I lost, I took that as a personal, that's on me. That made me, I am a loser today. I lost one game out of 10. I am a loser. That's how I felt. What do I escape to? What do I do to escape? This is a big one. When life gets tough, what do I find my comfort, safety, rescue, and pleasure in? It could be work, because some of us, believe it or not, when you try to run away from what you need to face, you go to work more. When Bex was raising the two young girls, I will tell you, I was trying to escape that. They're like, oh, you have two new kids. We probably shouldn't send you to New York for a week. Send me now, please. I'm going to stay in the West End. What's that bed called in West End? Because I had all my points with West End hotels. That heavenly bed. I'm going to heaven. I'm like, oh, Bex, I'm sorry. I got to go to New York again. What? Honey, I don't want to do this, but work demands it. But for me, I was like, I need to work more. I want to escape the diapers. When life gets tough, what do I find my comfort? Do you go to video games, social media, when you try to avoid something? Okay, almost there. What do you talk about the most? Oh, goodness. Some of you talk. And it shows immediately. Not that I'm judging. What do you spend your money on? What are you saving for? For some, with money, you're saving for that rental property. You're saving for a vacation. Or you're saving for the next car. You're saving for the next shoes. What are you most afraid of losing? Write that down. What are you afraid of losing? That's where that child conversation came in. Or I'm not able to get in that college. What do I worry about the most? What do you worry about? See? And then the last one, this is one that I've used in sermons before. I will use this all the time. Have you guys seen this before in a sermon? Where in your life are you saying to Jesus, you know what, you're not enough. I need to have this right now to be happy, to truly, as I think Joshua said, happiness. I need this to be happy. I don't need Jesus. I need this. Is this showing you some stuff, guys? Yeah? Do these questions help? I didn't come up with the questions, so you're not giving me any pride, right? These came from a book, and if you have a chance to read it, I'm going to end with this. If you read, let me rephrase that. Because you read, and I know that many of you do, go buy this book, Counterfeit God. It is a very good book. It's so good that somebody borrowed mine and never returned it, like many other books, and that's okay. I need a library fund for myself. I'll go buy another one. Counterfeit Gods. It's a worthwhile read. He does. If you think this class was good, Tim Keller, hands, drop the mic. He is a phenomenal pastor. He is a great thinker. His church is placed perfectly. It's called Redeemer Presbyterian in New York City. It's placed right in New York City at the heart of like very successful men and women. And his philosophy and using God's word and bringing it out in a very, I think this way naturally, like John Piper or like Tim Keller, like philosophically, but they are like my heroes. Like I can't do it to their level. They're so neat and blessed by God. And I could only sit at their feet and go, let me squeeze some juices from your book and share it with my people. But if you go to the source, read his book, it's really good. All right? Does this help? Does this help you though? Yes or no?
Yes.
Woo! A lot of idols in our church. I wish I got to the second part today, which is, what should we do with idols?
Crush them,
throw them out. The Bible says crush them, throw them out, burn them to the ground, and replace them. They need to be replaced. Your love for this needs to be replaced and redirected, like Amos said, to your love for Christ. And knowing that even if you are enslaved, it's the power of his blood that can free you from being chained to this. And he forgives you now. And so your love for him can increase. That your hope will be in him. Not in your riches, not in your children, not in your ministry, not in your cars, not in your electronics, not in your grades, not in your video games, not in your social media. Your hope is in Christ. Easy to say, hard to do. If I could squeeze out one more lesson to talk about what to do with idols, I will, but we're moving on to Acts in June. And next week I won't be teaching. I won't be here. Right? You too, right? Okay, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time to think and pray. And Lord, we thank you for the chance to let these concepts that are in your word be brought out. And I love great pastors like Tim Keller or John Piper to bring out concepts in your word that need to be taught in sometimes a more imaginative way, a more creative way. And I hope that I was able to do that. I have humbly been praying that you can help me to be a good Sunday school teacher and be a good pastor and preacher. And so I pray for your strength to do that. And I also pray that as I'm on the search of the idols in my own life, that my brothers and sisters who we are running side by side with, Lord, are also identifying the idols of their heart, and that we would replace them and redirect them, crush them, but keep them as a good thing that they are. We're not called to stop ministry. We're not called to stop loving our child. We're not called to stop loving our husband or trying to find a girlfriend or boyfriend or a spouse. But we are called, Lord, to treat those things as good and not ultimate. Because our ultimate love and focus and the center of our life ought to be you, Lord. So give us mercy and strength and your grace to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.